Well, today is June 17th, 2016. My name is Melissa Roth, and I'm here interviewing...
Susan Stout.
So I guess to start, where did you travel from to come here? And yeah, what's your general history in the labor movement?
Well, we came over from North Vancouver, so the other Deep Cove, as we always say when we come to the island. I got involved with Miners Memorial when Barney McGuire was still alive. And Barney was instrumental in getting the gravestone on Ginger Goodman's grave. He was also instrumental in getting the Ironworkers Bridge named the Ironworkers Bridge. And how many years has it taken so that now people actually say Ironworkers instead of Second Arrows? Especially on the radio and stuff. For years I had to keep phoning them and saying, it's not the Second Arrows Bridge anymore. It's, if you want the whole thing, it's the Ironworkers Memorial Second Arrows Crossing.
Were you involved with that, with Barney, doing either of those two projects?
Well, with Barney on the Ironworkers, and I was there the day they did the naming from down in Crab Park and stuff. It was kind of neat.
Wow.
Most of the people involved are long gone, but...
What was it like that day for somebody myself and not being there?
Well, it was a beautiful sunny day, which is always nice at North Vancouver edge of the things. And there were a lot of trade unionists there. And we had a bit of the story of what had happened. And I could tell a bit of the story because my dad was a land surveyor. And he happened to be up in... I don't know whether he was in the British properties, Kaplana Highlands, somewhere high, with his transit. And he apparently turned to the crew and said, there's something wrong with the bridge. And he saw it go down through his transit.
Is this a story that he told you?
Yeah,
when it happened.
And of course, the engineer that was involved in that committed suicide after, because... And he happened to be the husband of my brother's school teacher. So there were a lot of connections on that.
How old were you when this happened?
Well, what year was it?
I guess I was still 58. It actually happened today, 58 years ago.
58 years ago, okay, so I was 13.
13, yeah.
Yeah. But Barney, I'm a member of Unifor, which... grew out of the CAW, which grew out of the UAW, and KMA, which is what Barney was in, combined with several others to form the CAW. And used to go into the KMA offices, and Barney would be sitting there, long retired, but he sat in the lunchroom. And when you came around the corner, you had to say hi to Barney. And every time you came around, Susan, I was just thinking. So that ended me up in Yellowknife during the miners' strike, and because he was just thinking that it would be a good idea if some of us were to go up there. And in fact, he and I went to a big celebration for Mine Mill in Sudbury one year. No idea what year it was.
And what decade?
Well, in the 70s, I guess. And Rick Briggs, who was the president of Mine Mill in Sudbury, came to Miners Memorial in a couple of years, and just to keep the celebration going.
So from that experience and being able to go to those mining events and memorials, what does this Miners Memorial mean to you? How many times have you been to the one here in Cumberland?
Oh, at least 20. Sometimes as part of a choir, but this year I said I was coming anyway, even if nobody else was coming. And my husband said, okay, you need somebody to go with you. I don't want you driving on your own. But, you know, I know a lot of the people. I've known Brian since we were in the VDLC together. And Jeff Keithley, of course, is part of the KMA group, I think he was in the film, and we all used to always sing "Are You from Bevan?" That was no matter what kind of a celebration we were at. It didn't have to be in the Bevan area like here. So. Yeah.
It's 20 years coming to this.
Yeah, I'm sure it's been 20. Well, whatever year the gravestone was actually installed for Ginger Goodwin, that would have been the first time I came. But I don't know what year that was.
How has this changed over time? Like, how have you seen? Has there been any changes of this memorial over that amount of time?
Well, I still see a lot of the same faces, of course, but to have people as young as Neil involved in making films about this story and bringing it into the present, I think there's probably more connection. People are seeing the connection with the present day, and it's not just a piece of ancient history, it's part of what we're still fighting for, right? Hence my Bread and Roses t-shirt.
Bread and Roses.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think some of the challenges that working people face today? You mentioned that these issues are still relevant. Still
fine. Well, I mean, you look at the fact that companies are still trying to take away benefits. We're still working. An 8-hour day is still the norm. And my grandfather fought for that in 1908. You know, there's been no improvement in that. And yet they're talking about how mechanization, computerization is going to take 50% of the jobs in the next 10 or so years. We've got to be looking at people working less hours at better hourly pay, enough to live on. And we're fighting the $15 an hour campaign. They got it in Washington, D.C., which means we should really be working for $20 an hour, right, to be anywhere near an equivalent. So,
what do you think, actually, do you remember when you first started thinking about labor history and working people? Like, was it in school when you first started working?
Well, it was probably when I was, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old. My mother was never a trade unionist, but not for lack of trying. She, her father was worked on the CPR as a boilermaker. He died at the age of 53 from lung cancer. Because of working in the hot boilers on the ships, because they started in Winnipeg and moved out to Vancouver, and he worked on the CPR ships, and the boilers would still be hot, and they would be inside doing lead, right? And so Mom always talked about that. She tried to organize the Hudson's Bay Company. She started work there when she was 15, and she was always she was a real contradiction in some senses, because she was a housewife. I mean, her house was immaculate, and meals were on time, and her father was looked after, right? But she also figured that, you know, women had the right to have their say and do what was in their benefit as well as just for the family. So I grew up with knowing about trade unions, hearing stories about my grandfather blacking his face to go out after the scabs during strikes and that kind of thing. Although my father's side of the family was more or less right-wing, right? And my brothers have ended up more on the right side than the left. As though they'd never heard those stories. And maybe they didn't. Maybe Mum told me because she knew I would understand as woman to woman, right? Yes, the things that had happened. My first job was working for Acme Novelty, and I was a member of a union. So that was...
How old were you?
Well, I was still in high school, so 15, 16, I guess it was a summer job. But, mm-hmm.
That's amazing. What unions have you been a part of?
Well, really, basically the one union I started with, the Air Canada, as a member of CALEA, the Canadian Airline Employees Association, which became part of the UAW, which then became CAW, right? And it's now Unifor. And I'm secretary of the retirees, so I guess I'm still... In between, I was mainly a health and safety rep.
So those are the positions that you usually held?
I was a part-time rep when I worked in the ticket office, because I started there as a part-timer. Mm-hmm. And, then I got into the health and safety part of it and finished my career at Air Canada. In the last 4 or 5 months, I was strictly health and safety. I didn't put my uniform on again.
Yes.
Because they were redoing the airport. They were rebuilding the airport. And so we needed somebody on hand.
Is there a particular issue that you remember from those years in the health and safety that still, like, was a very poignant issue or campaign?
I guess I still watch ergonomics intently. We reorganized the... when I started, you actually lifted baggage, right? And so we got the belts in, and then we got some of the desks changed a bit so that you could actually do stuff sitting down, because originally you stood the whole day. And in fact, what really hit me the other day was I was in a white spot, which of course there are Unifor members as well, Unifor 3000, if it's an organized white spot, but that's another thing. And watching the server with the size of the bloody plates, and so we said something to her, and of course they're all different shapes now. You know, it used to be they were just round plates. They were a lot thinner. You could get your hand underneath because they had a rim. And now they're kind of bowl-shaped, and so your hand slides. And they're heavier than hell. So I'm thinking, I guess I've got to go back and talk to Local 3000 and see what's being done. Because, I mean, she was telling us that, you know, she's got muscle strain and that kind of stuff. So. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I suppose, what do you think the legacy of Miners Memorial is? And,
Well, there's the racism, right? That we still have to fight, especially with home care workers and all that kind of stuff in our present society. Of course, this anti-war work comes out of it. The very idea of killing somebody because he was a union organizer and then wouldn't go to war because he really wasn't well enough, but they were going to send him just to get him out of union organizing. You know, the kind of things you have to keep watching for. And I think the fact that there's the celebration, that there's the time that people get together and actually stop and think about these things, probably helps with the education.
Mm-hmm. And what's the why does labor history matter? Actually, that perfectly segues into it.
Well, because we got to learn from it, right? And you don't read history, you don't learn from the mistakes. So you've got to know what happened and know how you can make it better. As I say, we're still fighting for something better than an 8-hour day. 40-hour work week.
I guess, thank you so much. What would you like to add that we haven't covered today? Anything at all?
Just that I'm really glad that the Cumberland Museum continues to do the work. They keep improving. There's a little bit more each time you come, a little bit more of the history has been expanded, and they're keeping up the history of the town too, and the people that lived here, and the racism and stuff that was involved. So I'm proud of Cumberland and of the mainly retired workers, a lot of retired workers that keep doing these things.
Thank you so much for your
time.
Well,
and thank you, Melissa. Yeah, great.